We start here in Bava Metzia, Perkei, Rav to Mishnah Gimel. Okay, this Mishnah here is dealing with the topic of what's called Tzad Echad Beribis, which means, literally means one side, there's Ribis, but it means that there's two possibilities, there's a fork in the road of what might happen next. And one of the two forks in the road of what might happen next would, that's the one Tzad of what could happen, would be a situation of Ribis. So it's actually Mechlokas, if such a situation is legitimate to get into or not. And we pass like the chum, and that's what the Mishnah goes, that it is not. So we'll see in the case of the Mishnah what we're talking about here. But that's the issue. The issue is we're setting up a scenario where there may be ribbis, there may not be ribbis, we don't know yet. But we'll only find out after the events happen. So we don't, the question is if it's mutter, and the Mishnah here says that it's usser. So here's the actual case how it works out. Machalo esad asadeh. I'm going to sell you my field. Okay, I'm the seller, you're the buyer. But nasnal miktsas damim, and you pay me a partial payment now. The field is worth $100,000, and you're giving me $10,000 now. Vamar lo, and the deal we make is, I say to you as the seller, emasai shatir, so whenever you want, you're ready to pay the missing $90,000. Have maos, you can bring the rest of the money, the remaining $90,000, for tol es shalach, and you can take the field which is yours. Now the fact that it says tol es shalach, take which is yours, is indicating that the nature of this transaction is, and don't ask me, couldn't it be different? It could be different, but it isn't. The situation here is that we're saying the kinyan is happening now. The kinyan is happening on January 1st, we're doing a maisa kinyan with the, whatever it is, with the deen, with the kesef, with the shtar, with the on the land, and we're making a transaction. You're giving me $10,000 now to field, own the field now, and you'll subsequently pay me the remaining $90,000 later on. Now, obviously, it's contingent on you bringing that money to the table. If you, by December 31st, let's say, we set, don't deliver the remaining $90,000, then the deal is off. I'll return your money to you, perhaps, but the field then reverts back to be mine. And since you never fulfilled the condition of the kinyan back at the time, we've seen many kinyanim where they're conditional kinyanim, since you didn't fulfill the condition of the kinyan on January 1, which is to bring the remaining $90,000, the kinyan was never chal, and the field was never, ever yours. So, in other words, the setup then is that on December 31st, we'll find out whose field it really was. That's the problem. So now the problem is this. During the course of the year, who should eat the fruit? Now, as we've set it up here, really there's, I'm extending something to you and you're extending something to me. You're extending to me $10,000. Now, if it turns out that we don't conclude this deal, I'll give it back to you. So, in effect, you're a lender to me for $10,000 for the course of the year. On the other hand, I'm extending to you credit. I'm giving you a field now in exchange for $90,000 later. So I'm lending to you. So we're both lending each direction. Now, since each of us are lenders, if either one of us, potentially lenders. Now, maybe not lenders. Maybe you're not a lender because maybe the $10,000 you gave to me is just part of the down payment. It's not a loan, and the remaining $90,000 consummates the deal, finishes the deal that was actually, like, consummates a bad word. Like, I don't know, ratifies a deal that was actually set on January 1, and therefore
completes.
Okay, whatever you want to call it. But the deal was, the transaction happened in terms of the shift of ownership on Jan 1. It's just that it's conditional on this last, you know, later stipulation of missing money. If it turns out you deliver the money, it was always your field, and therefore you were never a lender to me. You just would give me partial payments. And same goes from my perspective. It's true that if I might be extending you credit, but maybe not. If you never deliver the money, the field is always mine. I didn't extend you anything. So we may or may not, each of us may or may not be a lender. Now, if each one of us are a lender, it's possible. So then, if either of us would be eating the fruit, we'd be getting the benefit of some extra additional payment besides the loan we made. In other words, you gave me $10,000. Now let's say, so that makes you the lender. Let's say for the rest of the year, you said, oh, it's going to be my field by the end of the year, and you eat this year's produce. Then you fail to deliver the remaining money. So it turns out that you don't get to own it. So I'll return your $10,000 to you. So you loan me $10,000 for the year, and I let you eat my fruit I'm giving you back principal $10,000, but I'm also giving you back the benefit of eating my fruit, essentially. You ate my fruit, so it's ribbis. And the same goes the other way, too. That if I was extending you the credit, so then I'm the lender. So if I'm eating the fruit, so then it turns out that the deal doesn't get consummated, if it turns out the deal does get consummated, so then I was extending you credit of $90,000, and in exchange for that, you're letting me eat the fruit from your field for this year. So, depending on what happens by December 31st, one of us could be a lender, and it could be that one of us would be getting extra benefit of fruit from the borrower's stuff. So that's tzad echad baribis. It's called tzad echad because maybe there's a fork in the road. What could happen? Maybe yes, maybe no. So this relationship is usser. Then that's the Mishnah says that setup is usser because whoever eats the fruit at the time they're eating it may or may not be at that point taking ribis. We won't know till later on. So the rabbis say that's no good. Rabbi Yehuda says that's mutter, but we paskin like the chum, like this Mishnah, that it's usser. Now, that said, the Gemara speaks out. There's obviously a solution to this problem. The solution to the problem is just put the fruit in escrow. No one eats it. So if no one eats the fruit, right, don't think of apples spoiling. Think of apples being sold and keeping the money, or just think of it the wheat going into storage. So then we'll wait and see. On December 31st, we'll find out who really owns the field, and that person will get the fruit also, and there'll be no ribis issue.
Can they make an agreement in advance that if in fact you were the lender, and at the end of the period of time, any fruit that I've eaten, I agreed to pay for it at a pre-designated price.
They could do other things too. They could make it more sophisticated, but they didn't. Yeah, they could. Yeah, they could do that. Yeah. They could do that. Sorry, what was my other thought? Oh, there's another.
I'm the buyer anyway.
If they don't say that, then that could be the person taking ribis now. You can't fix it up later on. Ribis are turning the money. Ribis is taken. The fact that I give it back here doesn't help after the fact.
But if it doesn't come one or the other anyway until the end.
No, that's not. That's the false move. It's someone's. The whole deal has to be me'achshav. It has to be from January 1 that transaction happening. Sure. The second solution is solution one was put in escrow. Solution two is okay. Until the deal is done, it's going to all be. Like, until December 31st, the deal isn't consummated. So then it remains, I was the seller, so it remains my field all year. If that's been the case, of course, you're just putting a down payment, so of course I can continue to eat my fruit till you pay the rest, and it becomes yours. The whole problem is with them saying it should become yours from now, even though it's contingent on a later delivery of the money. Yeah. Now the Mishnah continues on with a similar-ish, whatever, a different kind of case, like this.
How did they fix that in Israel? They use part of it. In other words, when you buy a property, you buy it on the day that you buy it. You know, only given a
I'm sure I use it to a heter iska. Well, at the end of the whole parak, we'll discuss how it all works lamaisa today. We haven't even seen the iska. We'll see the iska stuff, which is the next mishnah. So we'll talk. Yeah. But they do sort of weird shenanigans. They do weird, legalistic gymnastics. Okay, we'll discuss later on the parak.
Yeah, but on some level, for being honest, the gymnastics of this.
But some things yes, some things no. Okay, but that's what's happening. That's how you're asking how it works in practice. That's how it works over here. Now, yeah, the second case, the Mishnah is talking about similar-ish. Here, what happens is again, I own the field, but this time, I need money. So I tell you, listen, Yitzhak, I have this $100,000 field. You lend me, $50,000 against it. Lend me $50,000. And give me 3 years to pay you back. If I pay you back, good, I'll pay you $50,000, no interest, right? But it's collateralized by my field. If I fail to pay you back, so you've got collateral, I'm giving you the field from now. In other words, this $50,000 is not going to be, after 3 years, if I don't deliver back the money, then the $50,000 you gave me now wasn't a loan, it was the purchase price. So I'm basically giving you a deep discount on the purchase price, giving you for half price. Okay? Half price. Now, the rule is going to be that in general, the seller is allowed to lower the price for early payments. You just can't raise a price for late payments. Because early price, I'm giving you a discount, a deal, that's fine. But to raise a price later on would be basically charging you financing charges. But here, we're not there yet, I'm just speaking about. Here, I'm making, to give you a discount to pay now is no problem. So we'll say, give me 50 grand now, in 3 years, either the field will be yours from now, or it won't, you give me back the $50,000. Or I'll give you back the $50,000, and it was just a loan. So that's going to be okay. Mishnah says, Hilvo al Sadeo, if you lend to me against my field $50,000, Vamar lo, and the deal's like this. Im iata nosan li mikan va'ad shaloshanim, you tell to me, if you don't give me the $50,000 within the next 3 years, hare hi shali, then the field is mine as of right now. So then, hare hi shalo, that's okay. That's okay, because there's no ribbis problem. And in terms of eating the fruit, so what will be? The Mishnah says, "V'kachaya b'isos ben zonin osa al piyacham." Taka, this guy b'isos ben zonin did this very maneuver with the chum's approval. It's fine. Now, so that's okay because there's no ribbis. Now, why? What's going to be? Unlike the previous case of the Mishnah, where you were giving me $10,000 and I was giving you essentially financing benefits, so we both were lenders. There was a loan each way. You perhaps loaned me $10,000. I perhaps loaned you. I gave you financing. Now, that means they're going to give you the field now, and I'm only charging you for the full amount, giving money later, and you can have the fruit. Now, this case over here, money's only going one way. You're lending me money. Now, that could be later on construed as a loan, or it can be construed as a purchase. We don't know. But man of shach, I'm not doing any lending. Since you're the only lender, so who can eat the fruit? I can eat the fruit. Because I'm man of shach. If you're the lender, so it's my field. Of course, I can eat my own fruit. There's no ribbis there. I'm not the lender. There's never going to be a ribbis problem because I can eat it because I'm a borrower. If it turns out that really it was your field, so then there's no ribbis problem. I just was eating your fruit. So that means that at the end of 3 years, it turns out I owe you for 3 years of fruit consumption. That's fine because I stole it from you. That's fine, so I'll pay you back. But not a ribbis problem. So that's the mission.